It's time for Ask Dr. Daria on RadioMD.com. Do you have a question? Tweet your questions to @ShareCareNow using hashtag ShareCareRadio or email your questions to AskDrDaria@RadioMD.com. Here's Dr. Daria.
Welcome back. Dr. Daria here. You have questions. We have answers here. And every Dr. Ask Dr. Daria segment, I answer questions that our listeners and viewers have sent in themselves. So let's dive right in. The first one was about sleep. And this person asked, are there any natural treatments for sleep disorders? Well, on a very basic level, the answer is absolutely yes. The very best and most natural treatment for insomnia and sleep disorders is a medication-free kind, and that's sleep hygiene. I always advocate trying that first. There's no side effects to it. There's no dependence. There's no withdrawal. And what does it mean? It includes a regular sleep schedule, a regular wake schedule, getting out of bed when you can't sleep. If you are just sitting there tossing and turning, that's absolutely counterproductive. Get out of the bed, go somewhere else, do something relaxing. Avoid caffeine after lunch. It can stay in your system for hours and have after effects. Minimizing alcohol and smoking, both of which can decrease your sleep quality, and keeping devices out of your room. Stop checking the iPhone right before bed. I do it. I'm equally guilty of it, but it actually suppresses your melatonin release and is going to impact your sleep. And get exercise in, usually, ideally, more than four to five hours before bedtime. So those are the ways to improve your sleep hygiene. We also have great info on it on ShareCare, so you can go to sharecare.com/topics and look for sleep disorders. Now, if that isn't working and you need a natural supplement or a pill, you may have heard or seen about herbal supplements such as valerian and melatonin. Valerian has not shown to be really effective in studies at all and may also cause side effects, including potential liver damage. Melatonin, on the other hand, now that doesn't help everyone, but it has been shown to be effective in some people, including those who have trouble falling asleep at whatever would be a normal time and really tend to not fall asleep until later at night. So it's worth having a conversation with your doctor about trying melatonin if you think it may apply to you, and especially if you've tried lifestyle modifications without relief and fall into that group. Our next question is about aspirin. And this person asked, does aspirin therapy help prevent heart attacks in women? So I divide, in medicine, we divide patients into two groups. Those who already have heart disease and they're trying to protect a second complication of it, and those who don't and we're just trying to prevent it in the very first place. That's called primary prevention. It means preventing something that they don't even have. Now, taking aspirin showed a significant reduction in the risk of having a first heart attack in the most recent studies. Those benefits were seen in both men and women. However, it does also increase the risk of bleeding in your intestines and other sites because aspirin impacts your platelets, which help you clot blood. So, especially for primary prevention, the decision has to be individualized based on your risk factors. Your doctor is going to look at what those risk factors are for heart disease and how many you have, like hypertension, cholesterol, smoking, and weigh that against your risk of bleeding and other side effects. For secondary prevention, meaning people who already have heart disease and would be preventing another heart attack, evidence shows that aspirin does reduce the risk of a second heart attack and is even greater benefit than those who don't have any heart disease. So, primary prevention, individualized discussion. Secondary, it seems to have an even greater benefit. Definitely talk to your doctor about it. Our next listener asked about how should I track my food intake? And for one, I want to applaud you for wanting to track it. Countless studies have shown that we are generally totally unaware of how many calories we eat. We tend to really underestimate how much food and calories we're taking in because of those little things that we may snack on when we're not really paying attention to. And it doesn't really register in our brain. It doesn't make ourselves feel full and it doesn't give us that satisfaction. And we forget that we took those calories in. So that's accounting for a large part of our weight problem. So keeping a food log is an excellent first step in maintaining a healthy weight and just overall health. There's a ton of ways that you can actually track your food, however. So you can go more high tech. You can go online. Incidentally, we do have a ShareCare food log. It's on your ShareCare profile under fitness. But there's also some other great ones online. There's many, many online food trackers. You can enter your food and they make it fairly easy for you. You can also download an app that tracks your food. Also a great way to have it on hand. Most of them will let you type into food and then they calculate the amount of calories, fat, and nutrients in it, which is an advantage of using it online or in an app. If that's a little bit too high tech for you, you prefer good old pen and paper, that's fine too. Track it in a little journal or you can put it in a little document on your smartphone. Whatever helps you keep track and whatever you will use is what's going to be most beneficial to you. And I don't care how you track it. Track it, though, and do it and look at what you're eating. Look at the times you're eating. It's going to give you some very important information that you can take away and get on your best health track. Our next question is very timely given the summer coming on, and that is what is the best way to treat sun poisoning? So what is sun poisoning? Sun poisoning is really a catch-all term. It's not really a medical term at all. Used to describe two separate consequences of being out in the sun too long. One is sunburn. The other is dehydration and overheating. So what to do about a mild sunburn? Mild sunburns can be treated with pain treatment, pain medications such as acetaminophen or ibuprofen, to help with just the general pain. And you can take those as needed. Also, you can just put on some cool compresses or cool soaks, even just a washcloth soaked in cold water or cool water, and gently put that on just kind of to alleviate that heat. You also can try a lotion or a spray specifically intended for sunburns. Those are usually made with a variety of combination of products, often something that's going to numb the skin a little bit, and also some aloe to kind of rehydrate the skin and make it feel better. Also, really important, if you've had a sunburn, get out of the sun. Limit your sun exposure until your symptoms resolve, because that's the only way your skin's going to be able to heal. Now, if on the other hand, your symptoms are actually of dehydration and overheating, and what are those symptoms? Those can vary from just feeling more tired and sluggish to nausea, vomiting, headache, and eventually even coma and death. Treatment of mild dehydration is to drink fluids. Drink lots of them, cool, clear liquids. You can drink just plain water, but mix that up with even rehydration solutions or electrolyte solutions. You don't want to drink too much of any one thing. You know, remove yourself from the hot area, of course, and try to cool down. Now, in the ER or in ambulances, when somebody is truly having a heat stroke, we have a couple of different methods that you can steal a little bit and try them at home. One of the ways is to use a cool cloth. Cool, wet cloth, and you put that on their neck, in their underarms, in the groin area. Another thing is we spray them with cold water, and then we put them in front of a fan so that that heat can evaporate off. Now, obviously, those are for people who need ER-level care, but those are some tricks that you can steal a little bit, tinker with at home, and make it useful for when you're feeling overheated or dehydrated. Remember, prevention is the key here, and you can get sunburned even on a cloudy day, and you can get sunburned in 10 to 15 minutes, so pay attention to how long you're in the sun, and also remember that younger skin, especially children and infants, is especially susceptible, both for burning and irritation, and also for the impact it can have on their future skin cancer risk, so they need to have extra protection with them, using a combination of sunscreen, protective clothing, and just overall minimizing their time in the sun. Next, moving from sun and being outdoors to the office. And this is on any tips on how to stay healthy at the office. Now, a couple of things. For one, exercise. Remember, sitting is bad. It increases our risk of high blood pressure, obesity, heart disease. So every 2 hours, stand up and walk around for about 5 minutes. When you go for lunch, take a little bit longer of a break for lunch if you can. Walk 10 to 20 minutes if that's possible, if you have the time. I want you to also, number two, is hydrate. We load up on coffee and beverages, especially if you're provided those beverages by work. So don't forget water. If you want to make it more interesting, put some fruit pieces in it. Whatever's fresh, any fruit we can put in your water, flavor it up a little bit naturally and aim to drink 60 to 80 ounces. Plus, hey, those extra trips to the bathroom are a great way to get yourself out of your chair. So considering it, you know, getting two things at once. Number three is watch your snacks. We have a lot of high calorie, high fat, high sodium snacks in the office. Bring your own. Try to limit the exposure to those. Four, ergonomics. Pay attention to your chair, your keyboard, your computer screen. Make sure that you're sitting upright and comfortably. Make sure everything's aligned, that you're not bending your neck forward. And don't cradle your neck between your phone between your neck and your shoulder. It's a great way to get a neck sprain and pain that way. So some ways to keep you healthy and feeling good in your office until next week, because that's all the time we have for today. We'll be back next week on ShareCare Radio. In the meantime, feel free to tweet your health questions and comments to @ShareCareInc using the hashtag ShareCareRadio. You can also catch me at Dr. Daria on Twitter. And if you missed a segment or even part of it, remember you can download it on demand at radiomd.com/sharecare-radio. We're also available on iTunes for free. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD, where we help you be your healthiest you. Thanks for listening, and stay well.